Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tye.
And I'm Bonnie North. Earlier this week, we spoke with the Wisconsin Historical Society's Jim Drager about the Society's Wisconsin History Tour, which is in residence in Milwaukee through January. This week features a series of lectures and other events to highlight the Society's work.
Wisconsin is home to an internationally significant collection of artifacts that most of us will never see firsthand. They are relics on board scores of ships that have sunk off the state's shores. Fortunately, we know about many of those artifacts thanks to the work of Tamara Thompson, who is a marine archaeologist for the Wisconsin Historical Society. She joins us now by phone. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Why, of all the places you could do underwater archaeology in the world, do you do it in Wisconsin?
Well, it's my job, number one, and they pay me to do it, which is absolutely great. But we really do have a great collection of shipwrecks here in Wisconsin that are on the bottom of Lake Michigan and Lake Superior in Wisconsin bottomlands. And it really is a museum that's down there. Not only are there the shipwrecks and the skeletons of these ships, but all of the items that the crew would have had aboard when they went down. So they're really time capsules that are on the bottom. So it really is a challenging career as far as, you know, right now we've got a lot of ice and out on the lake, so we certainly have a very short season to be able to do what we do. But the rewards are very fulfilling.
How much work are you able to do when it is this cold out? Does it put a lot of pressure to get all your field work done in a narrow window so you have something to do the rest of the year?
Well, we do the really spexy part of underwater archaeology now. We write grants and handle paperwork and write field reports. No,
which I'm sure is why you got into this.
Yeah, it's all about the paperwork and office time. It actually gives us the time to look at what we saw over the season. Our season is very short. We're in the field just about 4 months. That's all that Mother Nature allows us. But we come back and we really review the data. We write our field reports. We apply for grants. Our program is about 90% grant funded, so managing the grants takes a large amount of our time. But we, you know, we're constantly looking for other projects and things to explore within our history of Great Lakes Maritime, and it allows us to really look and look for other opportunities.
Is underwater archaeology in Wisconsin pretty much limited to the Great Lakes?
No, there are a lot of shipwrecks that are on some of the inland lakes as well and on the waterways. So as far as underwater archaeology, it's not just shipwrecks that we're looking at. There's Native American craft that's been discovered and recovered and then gone through conservation treatment. You can go down to Kenosha Public Museum, and there's a canoe that's from Lake Mary that was conserved and is on display there.
What are the key kinds of questions that you ask in doing this work here? When you go looking for a shipwreck, say, or you find, you know, one of these other artifacts, what are the kinds of questions you ask about it?
Well, we don't look for shipwrecks. There's enough people out there that are looking for them, believe it or not. There are 750 historic losses in the state. So, believe it or not, there's shipwrecks popping out of the sand every year. And with the water clarity, the water becoming more clear because of zebra and quagga mussels, there's one or two new shipwrecks or even more. This last summer we found there were 13 of them are pieces of shipwrecks that were announced to us, and so, you know, to keep up with that really is a challenge. But what we look for is, first of all, to identify the shipwreck. A lot of times, you know, there may be remains of a vessel that are found or shown to us. And then we have to look at them and decide, okay, what ship was this? So we go back into the historic record and we look, and through newspapers and through other reports, to try to determine the name of the vessel. A lot of times it doesn't have a name board on it. That would be very easy, wouldn't it? So we look at the type of the vessel, the size, the location. We look at different features of the wreck to determine, you know, what type of vessel it was and what fits with losses in the area. So that's really one of the things we look at. And then there's always shipwrecks that have mystery that are surrounding their loss. And so, you know, they may be a ghost ship, something that just kind of sailed into nowhere and was lost forever, and these now become found. And we need to decide what actually caused them to sink, why they were lost. And so those type of questions are really what we look at in the bigger picture. A little bit narrower, what we look at is, you know, there were some really important shipbuilders on the Great Lakes, and a lot of the evidence of their construction techniques and how they built these vessels is found in the shipwrecks on the bottom. You know, a lot of times with these early shipbuilders, they didn't have plans. The plans, they drew them out on a floor, or, you know, they were sketched, and a lot of times things were done sort of, you know, a rule of thumb. And so these engineering feats that they were able to accomplish by making longer and larger vessels were really something that they just developed on the fly. And so to piece all of that history together, the evolution of this wooden shipbuilding is something that we look at, too.
You know, I am neither an underwater archaeologist nor an on-land archaeologist, so I guess I wouldn't know, but it seems like there would be a different sort of energy that you get out of going, you know, suiting up, going underwater and exploring and investigating a shipwreck versus digging a pot out of the ground.
Oh, sure. You know, I mean, we're going to a foreign place. We're not meant to be underwater, and so we're very, very reliant upon technology. So there's an awful lot of training that goes into it ahead of time, first of all. That's really the first step, because you need to be so comfortable with that then you're able to do recording. So you're able to look at what you see while you're down there and be able to take notes, too. So you really have to sort of be in a zone where you're able to, you know, manage all of these balls that are up in the air, and be able to collect scientific data to take back and look at a couple months from now when we're back here in the office.
Are most of the shipwrecks that are out in the Great Lakes closer to the shore, or are there a lot that are out in the middle of the lake?
Well, if you look at the numbers of them that have been found, we find them mostly close to shore, because that's where a lot of people are looking. And it's expensive to go out and look in the middle of the lake. But I believe that they're very much distributed around population centers. So you have to realize that a lot of these ships that are here in Wisconsin, although there was a lot of interlake trade, like between Wisconsin side and the Michigan side, this was really a highway. And so people were sailing to Milwaukee or Chicago to drop off coal and then pick up grain that was produced in the Heartland, and then they were sailing back east. And so a lot of times you'll find these ships near these population centers where they were going to. There's this, you know, very narrow distribution of them there. But then you'll also find them very much along these historic routes. So, you know, unless they got off because of a storm or became lost or were in a collision and ended up floating, and, you know, there's all kinds of different options for how they became in the place where they ended up.
Are there really big losses that are out there that are yet to be discovered?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, there's quite a few. You know, every year we have someone that locates the Griffin. So, which is LaSalle's ship that was lost in 1679. None of those have been substantiated. So that definitely would be one that, if someone had found that or could find that, that would be a really big find. But then there's a lot of other vessels which really explain the smaller parts of our history that are lost and would be really fantastic finds as well. And so we're very surprised every year when there's something new that is discovered, and we get to learn a little bit more of our history.
How well does the cold, fresh water preserve these artifacts?
Well, the artifacts on the bottom are very well preserved. It is fresh water. But when they are brought up, or if they are brought up, and it is against the law at this point to bring them up without a permit, because they do belong to the state of Wisconsin. But when they were brought up in the past, and this is like pre-1987, A lot of times they did not go through a conservation process. And so what that means is that even though it's fresh water, there's a bit of salt that's within them, and sometimes that needs to get replaced. And then another thing is with wooden artifacts, when they come up, they dry out. And so there's a preservation process, a conservation process that needs to go, that needs to be conducted onto the wooden artifacts as well to make sure that they're stabilized so that they don't continue to deteriorate. And so, you know, although we have these very, very precious things that are on the bottom, it's actually better for them to stay on the bottom. The conservation process is very, very expensive and time-consuming. And then when they do come up, you have to find a place to keep them forever, like a forever home for them. And so a lot of times museums are overflowing at the seams, and bringing these an artifact up, it may not really contribute to our broader understanding of history. It may not need to come up. And so we try to encourage, even if it is a significant artifact that is found, to leave it on the bottom with the shipwreck so that we know that people who are coming here for tourism, and we have one of the greatest collection of shipwrecks, in my opinion, around, and we're seeing people that come from all sorts of places to come visit the shipwrecks here in Wisconsin. And if they have more things on them, it makes for a better place to go diving. And so the more things, the more people will come to see them, and the more tourism and tourism dollars that we'll get because of it.
If you don't mind my saying so, you sound like someone who really enjoys her work.
Yeah, it's not a bad job.
Has this always been have you always done this here in Wisconsin?
No, this is actually a second career for me. So, and I come to it not in a traditional path. So,
well, now we have to know what was your first career?
I graduated with a degree in genetics. And so I have a master's in genetics, and I went to work for the geology and geophysics department at the University of Wisconsin. And so I was collecting water and bacterial samples in the historic lead mines in the southwestern part of the state for a number of years. And the woman I was working for moved to UC Berkeley, and the job went away. And so I worked as a scuba instructor for a while, and then I started working for State Historical Society as a volunteer on projects. And they hired me in to do outreach for them, and to construct mosaics, like a combination of images that really give you an overall picture of what historic sites look like, because I had a little experience doing that. And eventually I just kind of stayed on and then kind of evolved into being an underwater archaeologist here. To work underwater is certainly something that not a whole lot of people can do. Going underwater is something different, but when you put it together and you actually conduct work, there's very few people that actually can do it and be productive. So, and I'm not the only one. We have another woman that we just hired into the office. So, and she's an underwater archaeologist, and she actually went to school for it, and she's finishing up her master's degree. So she came through a very traditional route.
Well, either way, it sounds like a pretty good gig.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun. So I know I'm not supposed to have fun at work, but don't tell my boss, right?
Well, listen, Tamara Thompson, thank you so much for sharing some of that fun with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Tamara Thompson is a marine archaeologist for the Wisconsin Historical Society. She'll talk about her work and a couple of significant shipwrecks near us in Lake Michigan tomorrow afternoon at the Milwaukee Central Library. It's part of the Society's Wisconsin History Tour in Milwaukee through the end of the month.
Another break now, and then Lake Effect star contributor Gene Creighton talks about some real stars light years away. This is Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.